It's time for our monthly catch-up with the National Party, and we're lucky enough to be joined by Minister Paul Goldsmith on the line. Morena, Minister.
Morning, how are you?
Yeah, good, thank you. How are you this morning?
Very well. Yeah, no, we're just first week back in Parliament, and everybody's stalking around the place, getting into their rhythm, so it's good.
Mm. Yeah, I bet. There's lots coming up and lots that has happened over the last couple of weeks. Of course, I think top of lots of people's minds is the extreme weather that seemed to take over the North Island last week, in particular devastating areas on the East Coast. Can you run us through a little bit about what we know of the storm recovery that's happening at the moment?
Well, yes. We announced yesterday initial recovery efforts. So it's obviously been very devastating for those who lost loved ones in Mount Maunganui, Welcome Bay and Warkworth, and our first priority. But there's also been people very much affected throughout the East Coast and some up north in the Coromandel. And so first priority is about finding accommodation for those who have lost their homes. There's about 500 people across the North Island that have been looked after temporarily. Then it's about getting supplies to those communities that are cut off, particularly around State Highway 35 on the East Coast and a bit in Coromandel, so that's a focus. Then we've got Health New Zealand, obviously very much focused on people who are struggling with mental distress from elements of this. And then in the short term, there's an extra $1.2 million that's going to the Merrill Relief Funds. But the bulk of the cost of dealing with this will be in the transport space, particularly fixing a couple of roads that have been taken out. So long path ahead. We're obviously very thankful for the efforts of the first responders and everybody across the community that's digging in to help people through what's been a very difficult time.
For sure. Is the government treating this as an emergency exacerbated by climate change?
I think our primary focus is on just dealing with the situation that we face. I mean, New Zealand is a hilly place, and landslides, have been part of our history going back since the dawn of time. And so, and this has been a terrible one, which has taken the lives of many people. And so, we're just dealing with the situation that we've got, and making the best of that. And people can debate about the wider public debates there are about that, but that's not our primary focus. It's about dealing with those who are most affected and their families, and trying to bring some recovery to them.
Yes, but longer term, we're expecting these events to happen more often, aren't we, due to climate change?
Well, yes, there are some debates about that, but the reality is they've been happening all through our history and will continue to happen. And if they happen more often, then we need to. There's a lot that we're doing across government to improve our resilience to that. And so, one of my ministerial roles is in communications, and that's an area where there's been vast improvement over the last few years as a result of new technology with satellite links, Starlink and so forth. We're at a time when you would have been completely blacked out for a long period of time. Within a few years, with the increasing use of satellite as part of normal cell phone use, then that'll make a huge difference. So there's lots of different elements to it all, like I say, we're not necessarily focusing on the broader political sphere here. We're focusing on just dealing with people who have suffered a terrible loss, and also trying to get communities back up on their feet.
Yeah, for sure. But I do think there are lots of people out there who will be feeling as though it's almost too late to politicise this, because a lot of these events potentially could have been better prepared for in terms of forecasting the risk of where landslides can happen and the funding that councils get for this. And we saw in the budget 2024, a lot was cut from the Climate Emergency Response Fund. So I'm wondering whether, we're going to look back on that and regret some of those changes in terms of dealing with these issues now.
No, that's not the case. I mean, the so-called $6 billion fund that the previous Labor government had talked about was a classic. Jacinda Ardern, Chris Hipkins, an announcement being a press release and nothing else, saying that they're going to borrow an X amount of money to do something and not really having a clear plan, whereas we've been very focused on doing some of the basic work that needs to be done in terms of clearing rivers in preparation of storms, which wasn't being done, and it created a whole lot of problems, and getting on with ensuring that we have, you know, good quality roads around our regions, and again, rather than sort of having a philosophical opposition to building any roads anywhere, like the previous administration had, we're getting on with, you know, recognising if you're living on the East Coast or Coromandel, ensuring that your road is well looked after and maintained is important. And so we're very much focused on ensuring that we get the resilience that we need in those communities, but we're not like the previous administration, which made big promises and didn't actually deliver.
Is it not at all ironic, though, that now we're at a point where we're dealing with these emergencies and we're thanking the emergency services as well as, you know, Mirai, who have stepped up to support people, but the exact things that were cut from the Climate Emergency Response Fund in 2024 were things like funding Māturanga Māori-based approaches to dealing with emissions and climate response?
No, I don't quite see the point you're making. What is the point you're making?
That now we're thanking the people on the ground who are helping those who are in need, but there's not the money there to back up the research to provide infrastructure so that these solutions can be supported moving forward when dealing with more of these emergencies.
Well, that's just not the case. There's an enormous amount of resources going in right across the board, from communications through to roading through to enormous amount of research being done, and actually getting on with the stuff that needs to be done, like I said, such as clearing out river mouths and so forth. If you go to Wairoa, for example, that is the big issue. Now you can there's all sorts of debates about who should be doing what and when, but you know, point is that we've actually got on with it and done it. And the fun work that we've had for riverbank work, again, it was something that, notwithstanding all the great talk and, you know, aspirations and announcements of the previous administration, they just didn't get on to doing the basics. New Zealanders, of course, we're in an election year. New Zealanders can choose with, going back to a crowd that made all sorts of grand announcements on the UN stage and actually didn't do the basics, or sticking with current government, which gets on with getting the basic stuff done, such as ensuring that we're building river banks, such as ensuring that we're clearing out river mouths, and that's the thing that actually makes a difference when it comes to these extreme weather events.
Okay, speaking of election year, we've got an election date announced, November 7th, and I do want to talk a little bit about the electoral reforms which were passed towards the end of last year. What impact will this have on New Zealand voters going forward this year?
What, the election? We have a big impact.
The electoral reforms.
On making progress. Oh, no, the electoral reforms. Well, the electoral reforms, every 3 years after an election, a government will bring through some adjustments and changes to the electoral law. That's sort of standard practice. The biggest change in this one coming through is around the question of enrolment and when you need to be enrolled by it. If you look around the world, there's all sorts of varieties of expectations and requirements. If you live in Australia, for example, you need to be enrolled 26 days before the election. So that's that. New Zealand always used to be 1 day before the election, and then the previous government changed that and said that you could enrol on election day itself. Now, which sounds all very well and good, but the problem is that if you're getting enrolled after what's called RIT Day, which is about 28 days before the election, then you have to cast a special vote. And there's been a massive increase in the number of special votes. They take about 10 times longer to count formally and to identify than a normal vote. And so the processing after the election has got longer and longer. It used to take 2 weeks to get the final outcome. Last election it was 3 weeks, and the advice I had as Minister of Justice was that if we did nothing, it'll be heading towards 4 weeks before too long, and they'll be counting many hundreds of thousands of special votes. So what we've done is just said, well, okay, one of the best things we can do to reduce the number of special votes is to ensure that people are enrolled 13 days before the election, which is the day before early voting starts, which we think is a logical thing to do.
The Electoral Commission, though, has said that this won't change how long it takes to get a vote count.
Well, they said that initially, and then I pointed out to them that's not what they said to me, and they changed that, and they said, well, actually, if we made no changes, it would be taking at least 23 days if we make these changes. We hope to get it done within 20 days, but we're very much focused on ensuring that it's done faster than that. And the thing that they can control is the number of special votes. One of the primary roles of the Electoral Commission is to encourage people to get enrolled. It's actually a legal duty for all citizens to get enrolled. And if they change their address, to update their address details well before the election. And so that's what we're trying to achieve.
What about people who don't have stable housing, who don't have a firm address? Do you think we're putting them at a disadvantage?
If you're not at a firm address, then you can enrol at the previous address that we
But then your electoral vote won't count.
No. There are special rules that deal with that, and you can be enrolled at the most recent address that you've been at, and that's not an insurmountable problem.
We're talking about a huge amount of people, though. In the 2023 election, 450,000 people either enrolled to vote or changed their details during that 12-day period or casted a special vote. I mean, you know, a few days difference in terms of when we get a vote count, is that really worth stripping all of these people of their democratic rights?
Yeah, no. Well, the point is, we're not going to be stripping them of that right at all. They've got a year. They did it at the last election because they could, and that was the problem that the Electoral Commission has been having, because they've got all this money and this focus on encouraging people to get enrolled, but they've, of course, for the last two elections, had a completely mixed message, because they'll say, please get enrolled well before the election, but by the way, you don't have to, because you can just rock up on election day and enroll and vote at the same time. And so most people listen to the second message rather than the first message. This year it will be much clearer. They'll be saying to everybody, and have been and will continue right throughout this year, if you want to vote, get enrolled. And that makes it's not an unreasonable thing. The Australians can do it. If you're trying to argue to me that we're not as capable as the Australians of getting ourselves organised,
it's not about capability, Minister. It's about accessibility. We're talking about a huge amount of people who are disproportionately those with unstable housing, who are young voters, who are Māori and Pacifica. These are the huge amounts of people that we see cast special votes every year. And so I'm just confused as to why this is a priority to risk these people missing out on their chance to vote.
Well, the issue is that if we don't change the way we're doing things, then it won't just be 3 weeks that we're waiting for a final outcome, it'll be 4 weeks. And then if you can't actually, as has been the practice in New Zealand, you can't even start negotiations until you've got the final outcome. And then you have to wait, 3 or 4 weeks for the final outcome. Then you start negotiations. Then there is a long period when we don't have certainty around government. Now, as it's been in recent times, it hasn't made a huge difference because we haven't had a particular crisis, but there's nothing to say that we wouldn't. And we're talking about being prepared for what is unexpected. Well, I don't think a long period of uncertainty after elections is desirable. So what we're proposing here is some pretty basic stuff. It's not difficult to get enrolled. And alongside that, we are also, making changes legislatively so that it can be automatic updates using government information for people. So we're very focused on making it as easy as possible for people to get enrolled and to participate. All we're asking is some basic sort of preparation that many countries around the world do, and I'm very confident that New Zealanders can do it.
Right, that's just about all the time we have this morning. For those wondering, the last day to enrol to vote is October 25th. Is that right?
Well, 13 days before the 7th of November.
Yeah.
Yes.
October 25th.
In front of me. Yeah.
Thank you very much for your time this morning, Minister.
Yep, all the best. Thank you.
Have a good one.
Thank you.